I feel like I'm getting a sizzle. Can anybody hear that? Not sure what that is, Ron, but if you can see about getting that out of the mix. Well, heavily favored, Lolo Jones held a commanding lead 8 hurdles deep into a 10-hurdle, 100-meter race at the Beijing Olympics in 2008. She was seconds away from securing a spot atop the podium. Years of hard work and training, most of it done in shadowy obscurity, were about to pay off. The Olympic greats like Carl Lewis and Ben Johnson, Jackie Joyner Kersee, were about to have a new member added to their ranks. The gold medal would be followed by a media tour and then the lucrative endorsements. This would be a career-making victory. And then she clipped the 9th hurdle. Her speed thwarted, her rhythm off, she finished 7th. A devastating defeat. She crumbled to the ground in tears, pounding the track in disappointment. On the biggest stage of her life, Lolo had failed. Ron, can we switch just to this mic? And let's take this one off. Or maybe it's this mic that's causing it. That's better. You still hear that, right? If we have to, turn the system off and I'll just talk loud. That's going to distract me the whole time. So, oh. Can we take the volume down and still record it? Yeah, I'm still hearing it. I don't know. If it doesn't bother you, I'll keep going. So, all right. It's probably because I'm right under it, so all I hear is that it feels like I'm in a rainstorm. But anyway. So Lolo Jones had failed, and her chance for redemption would have to wait. Because track and field athletes, they compete in relative obscurity, with the exception of a quadrennial moment in the spotlight when the world is captivated by the Olympic Games. I mean, really, when's the last time you watched a track event outside of the Olympics? So as the flame was extinguished in Beijing, London, site of the next Olympic Games, was further away in time than in distance. There'd be plenty of races to compete in, but it would be 4 years until the world would watch again. Jones spent those 4 years striding over countless hurdles with no one there to cheer her on. No cameras or announcers to shine a spotlight on her efforts. She would push herself to exhaustion in preparation for her next Olympic opportunity. And there were more hurdles off the track. 3 years after Beijing, just 1 year before London Olympics, she faced spinal surgery to repair a tethered spinal cord, a condition as painful as it sounds. A cloud of uncertainty hung over her future as an athlete. Afterwards, she poured herself into recovery and then won the U.S. Open in January. Still, her performances were inconsistent. She placed 3rd in the Olympic trials, just squeezing onto the team for the London Olympics. Doubts persisted. Memories of failure lingered. In Beijing, she had gone into the race as the favorite, but she traveled to London as an underdog. 19 other women had posted faster times than Lolo's best in the year leading up to the Olympics, including her 2 teammates, Dawn Harper and Kelly Wells. But she did travel to London. for a chance at a medal, a chance at redemption. 4 years in the making. The dramatic setup could hardly have been written more perfectly for the media. In her semifinal heat, a heat in which the top two advanced to the finals, she placed third. The next two fastest times among all the heats also got a place into the finals, and Lolo had to wait anxiously to see if she qualified. She squeezed into the finals and then ran the best race of her season, crossing the finish line in fourth, 1/10 of a second away from a medal. Still, no place on the podium. But she ran a clean race, saved her best for that moment in the spotlight, and still came up short. 2 days before her final, the New York Times ran a piece that was critical of Jones for media overexposure, unequal to her athletic achievements. Leading up to the games, she had been on numerous commercials and the number of magazine covers, including Time and Outside Magazine. This while Dawn Harper and Kelly Wells, the two American hurdlers who qualified ahead of her, received minimal media coverage. Not that Jones could be blamed for the media coverage. The media will determine whom they choose to focus their attention on. A publicist can only do so much. If the storyline isn't compelling, the news outlets will quickly move on to other stories. Something about Lolo Jones held their attention so that the spotlight lingered on her. Jones, hurt by the criticism, responded to the article the day after her defeat in the finals on Good Morning America. She said this, "I wasn't even supposed to make the Olympic team, the U.S. Olympic team. They counted me out, and I made the team. Then they said, she's not even going to make the final. I made the final. In the final, I went from eighth place to fourth place. I just hope my story gives somebody hope. I didn't walk away with a medal or run away with a medal. But I think there's a lesson to be learned when you win. And there's a lesson to be learned when you lose. And this, I think, is why we as people gravitate to Lolo Jones. Because marketability is not exclusively tied to athletic achievement. Her two American teammates who qualified ahead of her were consistently running faster than her and finished in that same Olympic final in second and third place. They would be on the medal stand. But sometimes the story that we respond to is a story of perseverance and character. I'm intrigued by Jones, not because she's the best, but because she perseveres through adversity. Yeah, she's good. She's definitely good, but any victory that she gets doesn't come easy. I saw her fall in Beijing, watched that race. And it impresses me that she was still at it 4 years later, trying for that gold medal against all odds. Perfection doesn't inspire me as much as persistence does. Because effortless success, that can be disheartening to me. I can't relate to that because I know that my successes are not effortless. I need to see at least a bit of the struggle to validate the accomplishment. But when there is this scratching and clawing, a tenacity that's unwavering, I'm drawn to that. I can watch that. We're in the midst of this series where we're talking about failure. The upside of failure. how failure can be used for our advantage. We've already covered two lessons that we can learn through failure. The first, talked about 2 weeks ago, a lesson in humility. That sometimes we need to fail to put us in our place, to bring some perspective to our lives. And that humility may be more important as a character trait than constant success in everything that we do. So, humility was the first lesson we learned. Last week we talked about progress. That oftentimes it's failure that sets us on a course that leads to future success. That we can learn from mistakes made. That we can do things better the next time around. So, failure can propel us forward, not just hold us back. Today, in a third lesson about failure, I want us to focus on this idea of perseverance. It's one of the things that God can mold in us through failure. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, "For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes." The difference between the good and the wicked, according to this passage, is not marked by any disparity in the struggles that they face. In fact, if anything, it's the good person who is faced with greater difficulty, greater struggle, because the wicked one, as soon as the trouble strikes, they drop out of the race, caving under the pressure. It's the person of character who gets back up, prepared to move forward, but also vulnerable to another strike. Having been hit once already, they stand up with the potential for another beating, even seven times over, getting up again and again and again. Both are going to face struggles, but the person of character perseveres through those things. The difference is in the response to those struggles. Do you give up or do you get up? Failure will test your response. When you're leading and then you stumble to seventh place finish on the biggest stage of your life, what will you do next? So we find that perseverance is a theme that is visited many times by the writers of Scripture as they reflect on Christian character. This is a mark of true faith. If it's real, it will be lasting, so much so that both Paul and James can link our perseverance to our hope of eternal life. So Paul reminds the young pastor Timothy to watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Perseverance in life and doctrine is the key to personal salvation and the salvation of those that he ministers to. He has to persevere in those things. And then James pronounces the blessedness of perseverance, saying, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Paul, James, they are both seeing this connection between perseverance and our salvation, our eternal life. Perseverance so that you can receive the crown of life. Perseverance so that when you've done the will of God, you can receive what he's promised. Perseverance because in just a little while, he who is coming will not delay. The reality is that Paul and James are suggesting that this is part of our DNA as believers. Just like the writer of Proverbs had said, even if knocked down seven times, the good person, the righteous person, will continue to get up. Because that's just the kind of person the righteous person is, part of their character. The writer of Hebrews had the same conviction. Hebrews chapter 10, in one of his warning passages, and Hebrews is filled with these warning passages, but in one of them he tells his readers, you need to persevere so when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he's promised. for in just a little while he's coming will come and not delay. And but my righteous ones will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. The writer of Hebrews dividing the world into two classes, those who shrink back and those who are having faith that saves, faith that will persevere. We're one or the other. Of those two classes of people, we will either stay in a heap or we'll pick ourselves up and move forward. God knows that the hardships that we face will reveal our character. Failure becomes a watershed separating the persevering from the quitters. Failure is what gives us the opportunity to display that character in our lives. Last Sunday night, on Sunday evenings, we meet a small group of us to talk about what God is teaching us through the reading of his word. And we were in the book of Job last week for our conversation. And so in our conversation, we were talking about how Job ends up with a wife like the one that he gets, who, when hardship strikes Job in his life, tells Job to just curse God and die. But my guess is that Job didn't know that his wife would be this kind of person who would react this way. Because when they met and courted and developed this relationship, Job was a man of prosperity. And that prosperity must have set a tone in their relationship. Not that she married him for the money, but that prospect of a comfortable life must have played into the relationship. And when suddenly all of that is unexpectedly stripped away from Job, and he loses all of that, all of his wealth and prosperity taken away in a moment, this becomes a rude awakening for Job's wife. She hadn't bargained for this. She hadn't signed on for this kind of marriage. And in response to the hardship that they face, her true character is exposed. She was one who would blame God for that and give up. Her allegiance was conditioned on a smooth journey, but when the going got tough, she was ready to throw in the towel. No perseverance in her character. Job, on the other hand, reflects an integrity. Job is the kind of man who, when faced with that, refuses to curse God, says that we can't just accept the good things from him and not the bad from him. He'll curse the day of his birth, which is exactly what he does, but he will not curse the God who created him. In the face of hardship, the litmus test of his faith is the perseverance that shows his true character. His devotion to God wasn't based on a life of ease, a smooth path. When he lost it all, he didn't lose it all. His commitment to the Lord remained. And that was worth more than all the cattle that he had, all the money that he had, all the power and influence that he had. All that was lost couldn't compare to what he had in the Lord. It seems to me that the character trait of perseverance is more important to God than what we might accomplish in our success, that he is interested in the journey that we're taking to get there, not just in the destination, that he wants us to be the kind of person who picks ourselves up when we face hardship and continues on, even after we've clipped that hurdle and stumbled to the finish, to be the kind of person who continues after that to run for a medal, to be persistent, even when I'm not successful. And that's good news, because I can't run like Lolo Jones, even on my best days, but I can show her same resolve, and that I can pick myself up when I stumble, just like she can. That I can. But to do that, I need to recognize that failure is not absolute. To see that if I will, there has to be failure to prep me for that. The strength of my perseverance is only revealed when tested against failure. When I skate by, momentum carrying me forward without deterrence, then that doesn't show much but the kind of person I am. I've had times when I've lived with the wind at my back, everything seems to be falling in place, satisfying all that I want, like I have the Midas touch. But that does nothing to show my true disposition, my character of person. That comes out when I face those seasons of life when nothing comes easy, when there's been setback after setback, when I, in every moment, am facing a hardship that I need to pick myself up from, to begin again, swallowing my pride, taking myself up off the ground and setting out from a dead stop and gradually getting back up to speed. We like to think that we'll be in the group of those people who are that kind of character, who will continue to persevere. But until we hit the skids of failure, we don't know. Not for sure. It's an untested hypothesis. And it's only tested when we start to clip those hurdles to see if we'll continue that race, recommit to the progress. I've told my kids a number of times, I really don't care what grades they get at school. That to me, it doesn't matter much because I know that you can be a success in life with C's and you can be a success in life with A's. It doesn't matter. But I am concerned and deeply concerned about how hard they try in their classes. And that I'll take a hard-earned C over an easy A any day. Because I know that if there was effort involved in earning that C, that effort pays off in the long run more than an easy A will. And that there are more important dividends than a good grade point average to be found in a difficult class. That's building character in the person. A character marked by hard work, perseverance, determination, resilience. And the grade, that could get you into college. But character is what helps you succeed in life. So it's Paul who recognizes that there is this valuable chain that can be linked together in hardship. He talks about it in the case of suffering, but suffering could also include any time that we face a setback or hardship or failure. So failure is the first link in this chain, a chain that moves from failure then to perseverance. Perseverance because, as we've seen, failure is what allows perseverance to shine in a way that success never can. Perseverance then is linked to character. It's a matter of who we are, not just what we do. We can stumble and still find our way into success. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. And as we've seen, failure is what is allowing that perseverance to come through. Success could just be a roll of the dice, just random chance. It doesn't tell you much about the person. But when we pick ourselves up after failure, well, that tells you something. It's deliberate. It's chosen. You don't just stumble into perseverance. It takes effort. Inertia would leave us in a heap of defeat. Perseverance compels us forward. And then the final link in that chain is that character is linked to hope. Hope. Hope that stretches all the way back to that failure. That failure is not absolute. That it can be turned around for something good and positive. reality is that I don't speed down the track with elegance and grace, that I've clipped lots of hurdles and stumbled toward defeat. And after those failures, I need the encouragement to try again. It helps me to see Lolo Jones get up and give that effort one more time. And after finishing fourth, it's good to hear her say that there are lessons learned in success and there are lessons learned in failure. Things to be learned when you win and things to be learned when you lose. Standing at the finish line, gasping for breath, hands on your knees, looking up to the scoreboard and seeing that I've come up just short of my goal. Just short. 1/10 of a second shy of reaching the podium. Failure. At that point, there are plenty of voices in my head telling me to just throw in the towel, to give up on the dream. Jones invites me back on the track. Train hard. Try again. Be a person of perseverance, because that's a reflection of character. And when you have true character, that instills hope. Hope for the future. Jones says that she plans to try again next year in Rio. But it's a long shot. Chances are she won't even make the team. She had surgery this last year on her shoulder that she said has been even more difficult to recover from than the spinal surgery. And she hasn't run particularly well since her return. In the U.S. Championships this last June, she dropped out of the race after hitting two of the hurdles early on. But who knows what this next year could bring? She's a model of persistence. Not satisfied just to run in the Olympics, she aims to medal. Each time she fails, she picks herself up again because she understands there are still more hurdles for her to cross. And that's a lesson for our lives as well. To realize that anytime we face those hardships, those hurdles are an opportunity to keep moving forward, to show a character perseverance that is far more valuable in the long term than unbridled success. Let's pray. Well, Father, we recognize that each one of us can see examples in our lives when we have faced failure, where none of us have done everything perfectly. And so, Lord, help us to respond to those moments as an opportunity to grow in perseverance and to recognize that developing that perseverance may be more important to our personal development of character than just to have unhindered success in life. So, Lord, help us learn that lesson. Lord, even as we look back in the lesson of humility in that first week and the lesson of progress in that second week and now lesson of persistence, we're beginning to see that there is an upside to failure in our lives. And Lord, even as we have a couple more weeks to finish out this series and see more things that you use failure in our lives for, I pray that it would change our perspective, that we begin to see the positive side of setbacks in our lives, and that would give us even more fuel to carry on and to be persistent, to be the type of people who will pick ourselves up after failure and keep moving forward. So we give you praise for that, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray.